good evening. This is Veronica Entwistle, and who are you? This is a show about you, Radiant Spy Design. I want to talk to you about you and how are you faring at this time in history. Look what's going on in the Middle East, for heaven's sakes. There's all kinds of oppression being dealt with by marching folks, and they're very peacefully oriented. Seems like there's a lot of real live people standing up and saying, we're not going to put up with this anymore. Do you remember the old movie Network, when he has everybody sort of open the window and yell out, ah, we're not putting up with this anymore, something like that, and slamming the window down? It's kind of like people are doing that. And the feeling that a lot of us have, in the sense that the guides and angels are bringing in, is humanity is made up of individuals, of course, and a collective, but the individuals are extremely powerful, but we just don't know we are. So we've all been schooled in creating our reality and all this and that, but the bottom line of that is that there's an innate power in humanity that's absolutely amazing, and we haven't actually tapped it. We seem to be living in layers of civilization, in quotes, civilization, in which oppression is the way that order is kept. So those that are really good at oppressing so that they can have more, whatever that means to them at the time, seem to blindside a lot of people who really believe that they're being oppressed. Anyway, over there in the Middle East, there's a lot going on that's saying to us, good grief, there are dictators falling, there are people... what did you say? It was Tunisia, where the dictator just left town. He flew away when he saw the people rising, the Egyptian people. There were almost a million that just sat in, did a sit-in, actually, for 18 days. That was really amazing. And now in Libya, there's unfortunately a little more bloodshed going on. But at least they're still continuing this process. It's really quite revelatory that at this time that you and I and many others are calling this period of the shift, we're seeing evidenced in huge parts of the collective a shift. I mean a really big shift. Now, of course, the prayer that we all send out there is, let's pray that these people are listened to, can express themselves, can march, can do peaceful sit-ins, can send vibrations of love out there in such a way as to offset the old, have the old systems tumble. That's what we really want to pray for in order to create a win-win reality for all. I did a wonderful interview with C.J. Kalaman, Carl Johan Kalaman, who's a real expert. He's a scholar who's been studying the Mayan calendar for a long time. And we talked for Tuesday night for Paradigm Shifters. It was wonderful. And he was describing how way out in the universe, there's this, in essence, energetically, there's like a tree of life with these limbs that emanate change. They're waves of change and consciousness. And he says that how they kind of impacted us are creating waves of change and evolution in us. So when we talk about, for example, the shift, and where the Mayan calendar talks about how, the calendar is developed around the shifts of frequency that are coming in through waves from way out in the universe. It was an absolutely fascinating discussion to me, because he seemed to be able to bring it down to the three dimensions so that I could understand what Nirthi was talking about. But one of the things he said is that the global brain, or the globe, our Earth, has its own version of that amazing tree of life vibrational emanation that's kind of microcosmed what is way out there in the universe. But he said that the whole split, the two halves of it, side to side, the right and the left, if you will, are two halves of our world, not top and bottom, but side to side. And that the line between them, which I refer to as the corpus callosum, which is the separator of the hemispheres of our brain, anyway, it runs down from, golly, right down through where all of this unrest is going on. I can't remember, somewhere in Denmark, Rome, Berlin, Rome, Libya, and Tunisia, and where else did he say? Yeah, right down to the South Pole. And actually, I'm just asking Bob, my wonderful partner who's sitting here with me. And the thing about it is that it's interesting that this particular reference to the shift in full living color in all aspects is right in the heart of where the civilizations or the birth of major religions is, and it's right down in the, on the line between the two halves, where the east and the west. Remember, east is east and west is west, and never the twain shall meet. Well, the twain is meeting, and it's meeting there, and it's wobbling right through this line. I don't know what's happening in Rome right now, but I don't want to get into that. I don't want to go too far afield here. But the whole concept is what we're experiencing on mass level or in other parts of our world is something we're experiencing in ourselves right now, and that we need to really, what is it, to make the shift and to be conscious about the shift. You want to find those places in yourself, places of hatred, anger, rage. Remember last week on my show, Deb O'Connor was talking about how with the Mars placement that it is, that we were bringing up, or people, many people were experiencing the rising of rage and anger that's been suppressed or sublimated within us because of our history. And it could be collective history. It could be our personal history. And the deal about the shift is getting that kind of stuff up so you liberate your higher frequency self in this tree, or this deep, deep energy flow within us is able to allow itself to reveal love, compassion, forgiveness, and change, and win-win for all. So instead of it just becoming individuals who are grabbing what they can and hoarding it over there in the corner, it's about learning how to live, all of us, on this planet and in a different way, so that the east is east and west and west, west is west, and never the twain shall meet. I don't think it's going to be like that anymore. How many of us are adapting to Eastern philosophical principles along with our Western? How many of you are doing that? How many are doing things like Tai Chi, Qigong, acupuncture, meditations of all kinds, and so on, bringing in the Eastern self-empowerment tools? Those are all tools that teach you to become liberated, to become the powerful being that you are, that is way beyond the constrictions of our societies. The society's constrictions have been made by what? Beings who want to keep, for example, the financial structure. They want to keep themselves secure, so the financial structure keeps some people out and protects other people. And it has a, like the pharmacy, the world pharmaceuticals, or at least the American pharmaceuticals, has its own self-protection. And we've heard stories about people, like people who created the Rife machine, and how back in the 30s, I think it is, the Rife machine was an amazing vehicle for absolute healing. And what happened is many of the industrial powers that be would come in and or send in hitmen who would go in and smash up all these machines because they couldn't afford to have machines that would help people heal themselves. They had to make sure that the industry of healing and health was in the hands of a few. Well, that's kind of, I seem to be roaming around, but I believe that the shift is learning to do things for ourselves from deep within, to empower ourselves, to step beyond oppressions and belief structures that held us in, to empower ourselves to step into being able to love all of life and one another, and not just look after self, self, self. So that's the kind of thing we're going to be talking about tonight, and I hope that you're going to be calling in. We didn't have one caller last week. I enjoyed my time, and Deb O'Connor was brilliant when she came in to do an astrological doodah with me, and she's going to do that again at 7:30. We're going to get her called by Seth, but I forgot to give him the number again. But she's going to come in and talk about the planets this week, and it's a little bit different, but it's also about love and finding the freedom to feel the love of self. If you don't love yourself, you can't actually love other people. Do you know that? So that tells me that many of us, when we're talking about caring about everybody else in the world and feeling empowered with ourselves, is a lot about self-love, isn't it? And more complicated than that. All right, so let's start off and do our meditation, and I hope right away after that some of you will be calling in with your commentary. I have lots of things to say as well, and again, this is Radiance by Design, and it's a show in which we talk about how we radiate whatever's inside of ourselves. So talking about East is East and West is West, I say, if you're using Qigong or Tai Chi or yoga or any of the Eastern techniques, you're using systems that actually help you discover the use of energy within your body, mind to empower your own evolution and your own healing. It's one of the many, many ancient Eastern tools that have been used to empower ourselves. So see, all the pieces are kind of coming together, aren't they? It's a big pie we're in, and all the pieces work together. So let's talk about meditation. Well, let's actually do the meditation. I think what we'll do tonight is a shorter version of the sacred geometric meditation. Are you ready? And close your eyes, unless you're riding your bike on the edge of a cliff, driving your car. And call in that golden ball about 2 miles above your head, below your spine about 40 feet. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball through your spine into the lower golden ball. And now drop a four-sided pyramid to about waist height, 20 feet out, and upside down, a matching pyramid. Both of them meet the ball point. The upper point meets the upper ball, and the lower point meets the lower ball. And inside, there's a crystal ball. And inside of that, there's a star tetrahedron. And a star tetrahedron is the three-dimensional Star of David. And see yourself inside of that, spinning and spinning your star tetrahedron. And whilst you spin, let's take a look at the first screen of what you want to become. I always say the same thing. I'd love to be multidimensional anytime I want to be and come from the heart. Coming from the heart is a little difficult in the Western society, but we're learning. And when you feel like you're accomplishing that, wrap it in light. Good. Wrap it in light. And now move to the next vision and see yourself creating something you want. Yes, maybe you want to create home and family, a loving environment, a book. Good. TV show, radio shows. Good. Wrap that in light. And now let's go into the Galactic Healing Center. And first we see the wonderful healing team around the table. You lie on the table and have the healing team work with you. What is it you'd like to be worked with? Mm-hmm. And sometimes they tell you what you need. Take a look at your team. Good. And see if they have something to tell you. And now when you experience something happening, wrap that in light so it can continue. And then on the next one, bring in somebody who needs help, who needs healing. Have them lay on this team. The team replicates themselves, and we've got a fresh table. Have your person lay on the fresh table. Excellent. And then what is it they need to have done? Huh, it's funny because I have a lady in here and she's very, very angry. And the team is working on her head and her heart and trying to help her let go of issues that are making her angry. Forgiveness is a big issue. Self-forgiveness and self-love. Excellent. And they're pulling huge lines of energy out of her body. Ooh, she has a lot to do. They're working with her. We'll wrap that in light and move it to the side. Let's do one more. Mm-hmm. Oh my, we have an addiction problem here in the second one.
Yeah.
The team is moving around this young man. And they're changing his brain pattern, moving the energy in his body and shifting his brain patterns. Ooh. And he has a whole lineage family brain pattern, which is it seems to be relating that his brain is very susceptible to high-frequency energy, but that same susceptibility can be trapped by the wrong substance, and that's what he's dealing with. So they're moving his brain pattern and running energies through his entire body. That's it. And pulling. Good. And now the next one, we're going to wrap him in light, move him aside. Trying to hurry a little bit so we can talk about stuff and then get to Deb in a short while. So let's call in the Middle Eastern evidence of the shift. And from there, we might call in our awareness of all the different people in America who are marching and walking because of the, what they're calling it is the attack of the middle class or the reduction of the middle class, the reducing monies for services in this country. We're thinking of Wisconsin, but it's not the only state. All through the Union, people are beginning to walk, march, rally, talk. So we're seeing them in Libya, and we're seeing potential backlashes coming up in other parts of the Middle East, and we're seeing the kind of threatened oppressions, and we're going to call in an amazing pinky gold light and have it come in through the top of our heads and have it move down through our bodies and out our hands and send that light to all these places in the world where people are trying to awaken their personal power so that it moves them past oppression, that there's a lifting of the oppression of many people around the world. And we continue to send that energy to the beings that are marching, the beings that are doing sit-ins, the beings that are doing protesting. But also, let's send it to beings who are in positions of power that they can feel the truth of even their own empowerment. Because the greed thing is really about fear, isn't it? So empowerment, lifting them beyond the greed and the restraint of others and knowing that there's a tremendous love in sharing. And just feel that touch their heart and their being. Excellent. And they'll have that beautiful light, and it's going to hit Asia, China, Korea, the earthquake areas, all the places that we know is some incredible things going on in our planet. It's going faster than ever. And we're going to cycle round and round the planet with this amazing light. We have these, this is fun for me, we have these ET beings, you know, Jackie's show's coming up next. We have these ET beings hovering, and let's ask them also for support as they emanate their own light. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's just about us all waking up, isn't it? And flood the entire world with this goldy, salmony colored light. That's it. And have it moving way off the planet, maybe thousands of miles off the planet. That's it. So there's a great, big, beautiful buffer all around the Earth. and have it flow back into your hands and back into your heart and back up through the top of your head and out into the great central sun. And now let's close off the Galactic Healing Center. Remember, as you jump into your star tetrahedron, as we really love ourselves, that's the amazing thing, isn't it? When we really love ourselves, it is contagious, and we can shift from there. So get into your star tetrahedron, and let's just spin and spin and spin. Spin and spin and spin. And then come back into the room with me. Hi, what's up with you today? So we're talking a lot about love and self-love, aren't we? And I would like you to call in with your questions. In the meantime, I'm going to do some quoting. I'm reading this wonderful book that a lot of you, if not all of you, have read already called The Autobiography of a Yogi. I read it years ago, did you? I'm reading it again, and I'm so thrilled with it. It's just wonderful. And there's some stuff that I read here. In The Autobiography of a Yogi, which is the story of Yogananda's self-realization process since he was young and him growing in life and so on, and he meets a number of great teachers and great gurus, one of whom was Gandhi. Remember Gandhi? I'll give you the numbers before I read this. I want to read you some stuff that Gandhi had to say. So the call-in number is 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. So feel free to call in. I just have one more thing to say.
You're going to have to find the number.
Okay. So here's what Mahatma Gandhi said, one of his things. He said, I have found, and I thought this was really good given what we're dealing with right now, I have found that life persists in the midst of destruction. Therefore, there must be a higher law than that of destruction. Only under that law would well-ordered society be intelligent and life worth living. If that is the law of life, we must work it out in daily existence. Wherever there are wars, wherever we're confronted with an opponent conquered by love, conquer by love. I found that certain law of love has answered in my own life as the law of destruction has never done. In India, we've had an ocular demonstration of the operation of this law on the widest possible scale. I don't claim that nonviolence has penetrated the 360 million people in India, but I do claim it's penetrated deeper than any other doctrine in an incredibly short time. It takes a fairly strenuous course of training to attain a mental state of nonviolence. It's a disciplined life, like the life of a soldier. The perfect state is reached only when the mind, body, and speech are in proper coordination. Every problem would lend itself to a solution if we determined to make the law of truth and nonviolence the law of life. I love that because I think it's hard to really believe in nonviolence. But this is Gandhi's principles. He had 11 principles. One of them, I warn you, is celibacy, so we don't all have to worry about that right now. But anyway. Hello?
Hi, it's me. Am I calling too early?
No.
It's Deb.
Hi, Deb. I won't continue with this whole discussion, which was including a little bit on celibacy, because this is Deb O'Connor. And she's joined us tonight to talk about what's going on the planet. We've been talking tonight, Deb, about coming from love and how difficult that is and the shift. Have you heard this part of the show?
I did hear this part of the show. It's wonderful, and I loved it. I really didn't want to interrupt you when you were talking about Gandhi, actually, because it's so resonant with what's going on energetically, I think.
That's what I thought.
You know,
I want you to talk about what your thing is, because I thought it all went together.
It goes together so beautifully. I was thinking about how last week what we talked about was a lot of the Aquarian Uranian energy that, and I guess the way I even want to start that is to say that whatever I say about a planet on any given show, we have to remember that we can't ever isolate any one of these planets away from the whole energetic patterning. So even though you and I talk each week about a particular planet's work right now, we know that it's working in league with other energies, right? So it's to remember that. Nothing's isolated away from anything else. And the reason that's important is that last week we were talking about the Aquarius Uranian energy, which is so much about self-individuation. It's just so much about everybody becoming as thoroughly unique as we can become so that we can create these amazing communal, you know, communities and government or you know, like what's going on in Egypt and everywhere, in Michigan, in Illinois now, people coming together as individuals to create a much more healthy community, even if it's a whole country that's being reinvented. So we know that. We talked about that last week. But the piece that you and I talked about going into tonight is the fact that sort of synonymous with everything that Uranus is working on us about is this amazing archetype called Chiron. Chiron's the archetype for the wounded healer in all of us. So we come into this lifetime with a wound which we've carried for a long, long time, probably through many times. And we're seeking this time to become more and more conscious of what it is, what it's about, and then heal it. And we can see in each one of our individual charts what that's about, you know, pretty specifically. But when we're working at the universal level, which is what you and I are always talking about, we've got this planet that's just in the last couple of weeks, Chiron's moved into the sign of Pisces. And Pisces is so much about unconditional love, but it also has a lot to say about our level of compassion and our capacity for forgiveness and empathy and our understanding of the collective spirit that we are all a part of. And I think that part of the woundedness that the universe is working through us to understand right now is that we're not separate. And that has so much to do with this. It seems like a paradox, but the only way for us to individuate thoroughly is to understand that we're a part of this whole divine patterning. I mean, it sounds paradoxical. It's really a longer conversation than what we have time for. Mm-hmm. But I've been thinking a lot about the collective grief that comes through Pisces and how I think a lot of that grief is born up because we think we're separate from God or from the divine, when we're not. And then you and I were talking earlier today, and then I am going to take a breath so you can dive into this, but you and I were talking today about this, the whole concept of unconditional love, and you were talking earlier in your show tonight about how important it is that we love ourselves. And I was thinking that I think part of the healing of the Chiron wound is the awareness that a lot of us don't feel like we're worthy of love, really. And that we can't become these extraordinarily, purely individuated beings until we accept the fact that we are divine love and, you know, accept that. Surrender is a big part of Pisces. I'm going to be still because I could talk about this for hours and hours.
Well, no, actually, I appreciate you brought up surrender because I was going to include that a few minutes ago, which I didn't get around to yet. There's so much, isn't there?
There's so much in this. When you talk about Pisces, you're talking about an energy that is all love, unconditional love. But it's such a complicated thing because what does that mean? I mean, you've said this more than anybody I know. What is love? There's the human capacity for romance. There's all of it. But ultimately, we are it. There isn't anything else but it. But the fact that Chiron has now just moved into Pisces means that we're coming into a time when there's going to be a phenomenal amount of healing around this what is love question. But in order to heal, first we have to be aware of what we're healing.
Well, hang on a sec. One of the things I want to ask you is that in a Piscean way, or many of the water traits, water sign traits, is often a really big empathetic nature. And isn't that kind of a danger, wanting to be one's true authentic self? And having a very empathetic time, we sort of get caught in everybody else's feelings, and there's so many wild feelings right now.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's the thing. When you think about authenticity, you have to rein in the Pisces boundary problem. Mm-hmm. Pisces doesn't have any idea what a boundary is. So you're right, that's part of the wound, is that it has a tendency to blend with everything, so you're doing a lot of merging emotionally, and And what we really, part of the healing of the wound is to understand that boundaries are really important if we're going to really figure out what we are, each one of us. And you and I have talked about this so much. The thing that Pisces knows is that there is nothing but the consciousness, the eternal, infinite consciousness of loving kindness. But the paradox is that we're both that ocean of consciousness, and we're a drop in that ocean. And so it's like there are these two energetic tides moving really strongly right now. And they've been working on us for several years, but all of a sudden they're just really ramped up. And they are this desire for us to be individuated as that drop so that the ocean of consciousness can know itself better. But we're both a thread in the weaving, and we're the weaving. I mean, you know, all of that. And so,
but the weaving is where you get to be conscious about what's way inside. What is your truth about love, is it not? Like, what do you bring to the weaving? You've got to have it, don't you?
Yeah, and I think you have to know, I really think you have to surrender to the fact that, first of all, it is a mystery, that there is a mystery afoot, and that we can't know everything. And I think one of the things that happens to the drop or the thread, the individuated one of us, is that our ego gets in our way. We get in our own way. We stumble over our desire to know everything. And there's just a lot of things we can't know.
Yeah, it's true.
We have to accept and surrender to.
I liked what you said a minute ago, which was about the, what did you say, the great waves of energy
There are two huge tides of energy. One of them wants us to individuate, and the other one wants to surrender our ego. I mean, what a paradox.
So the one is the oneness. Hmm?
Yeah, but the only way to do that is to understand that we're all part of the same ocean, but we're all these different little expressions of water, or you've had people on Paradigm Shifters who've talked a lot of, I can't remember that amazing man, I just love him, who talks about light fractals.
Oh,
he's I can't pronounce his name. It's East.
Aravinda.
Who talks about how each one of us is really a light fractal, so that we're part of the whole light source, but we're a fractal at the same time. And that's what's so amazing about this this Chiron, this healing of the wound absolutely demands that we surrender to what we don't know, at the same time that we really work to become as completely authentic as we can be. And I guess authenticity has a lot to do with being at the same time that we're not trying to drive the spaceship. I don't know. It's pretty amazing.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Let
me ask you this on a practical. You're doing very well with the words, believe me. But let me ask you on a practical level, what the planetary, the Chiron influence, the Piscean influence, is that supporting the Middle Eastern people's shift, is what I'm trying to say. Is that something we can understand, that it brings the energy?
Yeah, but I think it's the subtler piece, because the more obvious piece is this Uranus transit into Aries, which happens exactly on March 13th. But it started way back last summer. And so that's the actual, here we have a revolution in the sign of new beginnings. That's an extremely amazing thing. I'm going to put together a great big huge celebration on behalf of that in Missoula, Montana on March 13th. Just
wonderful.
A great big huge, and I'm going to ask everybody to bring a list of six impossible things. That's the community rising up in revolution to start things anew. That's what that is. But the subtler piece with Chiron and Pisces is, until we come face-to-face with the grief that we carry, and the grief really has to do with our belief that we're not worthy of the kind of love, you know, loving support that the universe is giving us, that net. If we don't really believe that, I don't think we can create the kind of revolution that'll last. Does that make sense? It's like we can create the revolution. The revolutions are happening right now.
Right.
That's the Uranus and Aries thing. But in order to carry them through, really carry them through so they don't keep having to happen over and over and over, we have to realize that we're all in this together. That's the Chiron wound. That we're in this together as humans, but it's bigger than us. It's
so the Chiron traditionally becomes the healer, doesn't it? Chiron's womb
it does.
Traditionally becomes that which changes you into a giver.
We have the choice to stay wounded or to heal ourselves. And when this is happening through Pisces, it gets really subtle. Grief comes into play, and so does that sense of what is divine love? All those big questions that really we can't answer with anything other than intuition and a sense of really deep feeling. I mean, our dream life is really important to the healing of this Chiron wound now that it's in Pisces. Because a lot of what's going on in the healing process here is happening at the supra-consciousness level. In fact, everything that's going on in the healing is happening. Supra-conscious or metaphysical. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you think about where that word came from. It's the metaphysical. It's beyond the physical. It's above it.
Mm-hmm.
We're the portal in this physical form, but Pisces says there's something that's metaphysical. It's beyond the physical. Yeah, and the healing comes from there.
So if we're having we're having Uranus and a revolutionary kind of feeling, and it's going to hit Aries, which gets things going, this can be a time for us to feel the healing by choice, isn't it? I mean, I'm trying to put together some very
really important about the Uranus and Aries part of this is that's really happening at a tangible level. We can see it happening. We can feel it in each one of our individual lives too. We're all experiencing these little individual revolutions and that really come to us more as these sort of reality hits and these moments of just big leaps of consciousness, which is a personal revolution of sorts, a revolution of our vision, which is what's happening all through the Middle East and in this country, too. It's a revolution of vision. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I guess I'm trying to say, maybe clumsily tonight, is the only way to sustain that, really, is to recognize that we aren't doing this alone. This is something that the universe and all the invisible world is participating in with us. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the healing, the Chiron healing through Pisces, is knowing there is this spirit afoot, this spiritual entity, this gargantuan, eternal, infinite weaving of energy that we're participating through, you know, so that the community becomes healthier. But all these communities are spiritually based. Everything is, right?
Mm. And it could be absolutely huge, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think
I'm
it's
banking
really
on
huge.
That.
Yeah, I'm banking on it with you, and I know that my time is way over, and I need to get off the phone so other people.
Oh, I love this conversation because what happens with Deb with me is I start thinking and rolling through some very big waves of change. So much of it, I mean, even talking to Dr. Kalaman about is it October? No, it's March 9th, I believe, is the big shift, the ninth wave. That's a huge consciousness shift then. So you're kind of right in a lot. What did you say, March 13th?
Yeah, and the thing about all these really big outer planets is that the transits are so slow that really this one started way back in the summer. It is like a gigantic wave coming through that you can't say that any kind of a little flip is going to be switched and on the 13th all of a sudden we're there. We're already in there.
But we're feeling it. We're feeling it at a deep level, aren't we?
Really?
I mean, I can. Yeah.
Big feeling of it, yeah.
I love that, and I thank you so much. You're not coming on next week because you're having a birthday, so happy birthday.
Thank you, I know. Yeah. Now, I want to know if I should call you back and ask you my personal question or ask you right now.
Why don't you hang on for a moment because we have a caller, and then we'll go to you, okay?
Okay, yes. Please go to the other caller, and then I'll just wait. And I think I'll call back in case there are more than one caller.
All right, thank you.
I'll do that because I'd rather give this time to other people. I can talk to you later about this.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you
so much, Deb. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Well, okay.
What's
no
your name?
Problem. Well, I have to admit, I have not been listening to the show. I just happened to think, I haven't called in a while. And honestly, I'm just doing the dishes and just had a feeling to call. I'm just having a really interesting time, and my grandmother died this morning and having a lot of changes in my life, and I just felt like I'll just call and see what's up on the show.
What's your first name?
Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie. I thought it was
Hi.
You.
Uh-huh.
All right, so let's just take a look here. What we're talking about is love, and we're talking about revolutions. We're talking about big changes and the shift that's going on right now. And it looks like what's
uh-huh.
happening is a rising tide in you. Do you feel that? It feels like it's been sluggish. It's been holding in and around your chest and so on. And that you have a rising tide of change that wants to come up. Which, even though
uh-huh.
you didn't hear Deb's report, it's kind of what she's been talking about. That
uh-huh.
the change, we have to choose a lot of it, you know. And I'm just seeing you. You don't feel well, do you?
I feel terrible. Honestly, I've been composing and very, very motivated, but just had a really hard time letting go of things. And it's really not that hard. It's kind of weird. It's like it's not that hard. It's like mm-hmm. I end up teaching other people, and then I end up having a problem with it again. It's kind of been.
Are you surprised that your grandmother passed?
No.
Okay.
I was guided to go visit her, and I was a person called, and it was happening, and then I decided not to.
Okay.
And it's just, I feel pretty awful. And a lot of my friends are having things that they start working on coming to fruition now, and I just felt really bad. I was like, what did I do with my year? And I know it wasn't all bad, and I've seen that. But it's
but,
just
but
been,
you've been
you know,
composing?
Yeah, music.
Mm-hmm. So you are being productive, right?
Oh, yeah, I am. I mean, I don't have a lot of... I have like 13 cents in my bank account, and I keep being told to just keep writing and keep making music and just don't worry about it. And things are coming to me. But, doggone it, it's kind of hard.
Well, what I'm feeling sad about is that you have a big block in your heart chakra right now. It's hugely blocked. There's like a stagnant inside of your energy fields. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but it would be nice
yeah.
for us to break some of that free right now, because
yeah.
I think when you break open, now Deb was talking about how very shortly there's going to be, I think it's the Uranus, there's a connection with Aries that's suddenly going to come up, and even though nothing happens in astrology in the moment, there is a movement coming, and I see in you that you're going to break free in a couple of weeks, in a sense of, and maybe it aligns with what she said, and maybe it doesn't, but it seems like you're going to break free and be able to connect. It's like this. You're going to connect with people in a slightly more of a sparky way, and people are going to feel more drawn to you, and that's going to bring opportunity to you in a new way. And it's not one thing, it's a number of things. So maybe it's gigs, I don't know what it is. Is that what you would like to do?
Yeah, I guess that's what I was thinking. I mean, I had this big idea what I wanted to do a year ago, and that the vision just became so huge, I couldn't keep up with it because I had so much coming to me. I was overwhelmed, and I shut down. And then I lost, it felt like I lost everything, and I just got into this cycle of opening up and closing for like 3 months, and it felt terrible. And things are opening up again since I finally said, I'll just be open to everything and stop shutting myself off, and now show me what it is I'm supposed to do. And things have been just changing like really quickly ever since then. And one of the things that happened was I reunited with somebody that we were distancing, and all of a sudden, bam, I got clarity, and things started coming together again with him, and the next day my grandma died, or 2 days later.
That's interesting, isn't it? But it seems like you're having a breakthrough. And we were talking about this in other ways. We were talking about the Middle East representing the shift in individuals, only they're doing it in a collective way, and that's happening in certain parts of this country, and it's happening in your body, that there's a movement going to start coming up, and the shift is going to be an opening inside of yourself and making peace with a deep part of your nature, which you haven't done for a while. You're a singer, right?
A what?
You sing?
A singer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was starting to really sing 2 years ago. It feels like I just stuck things on hold for 2 years, and it's
frustrating. Well, honey, you need to sing. I'll tell you what, singing, I love this because singing hooks the right and left sides of your brain, and you get much more whole patterns. And so as you're singing, you're actually healing, and I just see that you're going to break. It's almost like you have too much, if it were a cold, we'd say you have too much phlegm, and it's going to break.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, okay.
And it does that. When I sing, everything opens up. I also drum.
Oh,
and I just got my flute back. I lost it for 4 months, and I just got it back, and I'm starting to perform. It's just...
Well, you have a big breakthrough time coming up over the next 3 weeks if you take advantage of it. Once again, we have to choose it. And I want to say this other thing, Stephanie, is that you, as we have these habitual sort of holding back times, it's a very sluggish process at times to break free. You have to kind of push one foot in front of the other and really paddle your way out. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, and it feels like I've had so many opportunities to just let it happen, and then I've blocked it, and that's been very frustrating, and it keeps happening over and over.
But, honey, that's where the choice is. That's where the somnambulance is, the sleepwalking, the trance is, that we have to actually grab it and choose like mad, and that's the way we make the change. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just don't understand why I keep, like, stubbornly refusing to do something that's so simple. I'm like, what's my problem? That's just...
Well, you might want to look yourself in the eye and talk in the mirror. This is what I would do and say, oh, interesting, so I'm choosing to stay behind. I think if you could start laughing at yourself and not just being stuck in it, just make it a joke.
Well, I have laughed.
Yeah. It is funny because your opportunity is coming up.
Relationships, they start freaking out. So I was.
Well, keep going because you're about to break free if you want to, and that's the lesson for all of us. Okay?
Yeah, I just wish I'd done this years ago when I had the chance then. It's like,
You can't go back in time, but we can change our life. Anyway, many blessings to your grandmother, and thank you for your call.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. That was a good call that just sort of gives you the example of how hard it is for us to change. Deb, if you're there, call in. We're ready for you. Otherwise, I was about to read, let me see, I was going to go back to the principles. I was talking about developing a sense of love and a sense of truth of self and a sense of integrity. And a lot of spiritual teachers like Gandhi had a system, and he taught nonviolence, truth, non-stealing, celibacy, non-possession, body labor. That's just using your body to get things done, right? Control of the palate. Watching what you eat, I'm just about finished, fearlessness, equal respect for all religions, use of home manufacturers, freedom from untouchability. That's a pretty good assortment. So I started reading that before Deb called in. Now I finished, and I hope that's you again, or it's someone. You're welcome to be on the air with me. Good evening.
Hi, this is not Deb, but Deb can call back in. I'll just be short then. I'm calling to apologize to you. This is Susan from Brooklyn, and you gave me some very, very solid advice, and I questioned your authority, so I do apologize, okay? And I really am glad to hear that.
You questioned my authority of all the nerve, girl.
I know, I used to live in Santa Cruz, California, and every other car had the bumper sticker, question authority, right? But I love what you said about singing, breaking up phlegm, because I work with music therapists, and when they say that you're stuck, you know, they say, sing through it, you know. And I didn't know that. So hearing it from you, I am not going to question your authority. Because I think it's good.
That.
I didn't even know that. Anyway, this is why I'm calling tonight. It has to do with what happened when I called last time. I had problems with women. I had a not very good relationship with my mother, and so I had like a lot of trust issues, you know,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Around women. Particularly, you know, so anyway, I heard you talk one time about the teacher Amma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've been going to her for a few years, right?
Oh, great. Okay.
So, yeah, I like it very much. And but anyway, I went to a church that wasn't one of part of her organization, but I was seeking prayer and guidance, with a prayer minister about a relationship that I was in, right? Mm-hmm. So because I am a medium, I heard who's this? 917-455-8724.
We're on live air. I think we can't do that right now. All right, we're going to just continue with this. where were we? We were talking about, I was talking about the voice, I guess, from these different people. And in your voice, we were talking about making a choice to move with love and with expansion in the shift, about loving yourself. And as Deb put up, talked about the Chiron and how we're learning to recognize that we're very connected to, we are divinity, or we're connected, or the divine is within us, we're part of God, and that could bring up self-love. I really like that whole thing, because as soon as we don't love ourselves, we get defensive, we get confused, we start hoarding ourselves. All of that is about fear, isn't it? If we really loved ourselves, we wouldn't be so afraid of one another. And Susan, whose call got interrupted, was saying she didn't trust women. A lot of that is also about self-love, because what we used to do as women was we had to find a mate so that we would be secure, and then we would take each other's mate, I think. And it was all that wooing stuff that went on, and it was dominance in a really underhanded kind of way. That was the old famous way of being feminine, wasn't it? So that whole thing about mistrust, I really like the idea of singing it through, because when you do, you can bring up those issues, you can sing them through, and you can actually change your brain patterns. And again, it's a style of choice. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. We wandered off into a couple of different topics, but remember, what's going on over there in the Middle East? What's going on in the states of our union here? All of these different people talking are expressing a kind of a shift, or a rapport with the very shift that we all want. Remember to really love yourself, and then turn that around and really love one another. Stay tuned for the top of the hour. We're going to be with Jackie Silvitti and the team. We're talking about, I can't remember what we were talking about tonight. I was going to have it written right on the inside of my hand, but I know it'll be very interesting. Jackie's also working tremendously with a shift and new ETs coming in. And next week on Paradigm Shifters, I'm going to be talking to Patricia Corey, but she's a big ET kind of girl. She runs a show on BBS Radio, and she's gone off to Egypt, and I haven't heard back from her. I've sent her some emails. I don't know if she made it back. I don't know if she actually went over there or if her trip was waylaid, but she hasn't given me any feedback yet. So I think Patricia Corey is going to be on with information about ETs, about, I guess, about Egypt, if she made it over there. So it'll be an interesting show at 8 o'clock Tuesday night. If you'd like to be in touch with me, give me some ideas about the show, or talk about Deb's interesting astrological doodah, and ask questions or whatever, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, or call me for a session as well. Email me for a session. So again, let's take a deep breath. Let's call in the light, take a deep breath, and breathe love out to everyone in the Radiance by Design community and farther. Thank you so much for listening. Talk to you at the top of the hour.